In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today we celebrate the feast of St. Paschal Baylon. And many of you probably have never heard of St. Paschal unless you've met Brother Paschal, who was named after him. So I'd like to tell you a little bit about him. He was born of a very poor family. He did not have the opportunity to go to school and get an education. He was sent out as a young boy to take care of the sheep. And in the fields and pastures, he would carry a little statue of the Blessed Mother. Said that he would put that statue in the little fork of a tree, and there he would pray to the Blessed Mother. So he was a very pious boy. But as he got older, he wanted to do more. So he entered the Franciscans as a lay brother. And every spare moment, he would spend in the chapel before our Lord in the Holy Eucharist. And hence the Pope has named him the patron of Eucharistic devotions, the congresses and practices. And it's very beautiful what our Holy Mother the Church has picked for today's epistle and today's gospel. Our Lord has chosen the foolish things to confound the wise. And it's something that I've thought quite a bit about over the years because I've been interested in education. But there always seems to be something is wrong with education, and it's kind of hard for us to put our finger exactly on what it is. And I think our Holy Mother, the Church, has given us somewhat of an insight into this. Too often we consider that those who are ignorant are stupid. And there's a big difference between being ignorant and stupid. St. Paschal Baylon was ignorant of many things that you can find in books. But he was not stupid because he was wise in the faith. And we, today, our society, we have put a great emphasis on education. We want to fill the mind. We want to expand the memory. We want to put all these things into our children's heads. And we put a lot of effort into it. And we don't want any child to be left behind. And we'll even give you a free education because it's so necessary in the eyes of the world, the eyes of our society, that you know these simple things of how to read, how to write, how to do some basic arithmetic. We consider these things to be essential. But we forget that the human being, the human soul, is not just a head. There's also a heart. The head isn't the only thing that needs to be trained and developed. St. Augustine speaks of the soul as having three faculties: the memory, the intellect, and the will. And my experience with our modern education is we want to expand the memory. We teach the children what to memorize and what to put on the test, but we do very little to develop the intellect. The power of reasoning and thinking correctly seems to be just cast out the window. But what I find even more objectionable, you might say, is that we've totally neglected the will. We have not disciplined the will. We've not shown the children how to be moral. We've not given them the tools that they need to live a pious, moral life. You've ever heard the saying that a little knowledge is a dangerous thing? You fill the head with a little bit of information and you've created a monster. You just look at any child when they get to be teenagers and they know more than their parents. Or at least they think they know more than their parents. And you'll see what a monster you've created. Because they've taught these children only things in their memory. They've not yet taught them how to think, to be logical, to be rational. But most importantly, they have not taught them how to be moral. They have not taught them how to exercise their free will. See, oh yeah, they know how to exercise a free will, but only for good, only for evil and not for good. They're only self-centered. They've never learned to discipline that will, to bring it into subjection, to conform it to God's will. And I think that is essentially what's missing from our education today. And our Holy Mother, the Church, has put St. Paschal Baylon, you might say, up on this pedestal. Here you go. You don't need all that education. At least the education that's only going to train the memory. St. Paschal Baylon had an education that was far superior, I dare say, than any we receive today, because he trained through the grace of God his intellect and his will. Not just the memory, but his intellect and his will. He was able to discern good from evil. He was able to discern in the whole world around him God's presence. He saw more clearly than we do because he has developed faith. He's developed his will. He's developed his intellect, his reason. And he can say, obviously, this sin is irrational and I should not participate in it. This doesn't make sense. This isn't logical. This isn't good. This isn't according to right order. And ultimately, this is against God's will. And therefore, I will not do it because he has trained his will. He can say, I won't do that because that is not good. That is not right. That is not proper. He has trained his will. He has trained his intellect. So he wasn't stupid. But what we have today are truly little monsters who have not trained their intellect. They cannot logically go through an argumentation from start to finish and come to a conclusion that this is wrong because it's not logical. It doesn't fit into right order. It doesn't fit into God's plan. But most importantly, we haven't trained our children to say, this is wrong and therefore I will not do it. We haven't given them the tools. But yet, we send them to school 180 days out of the year. For what? 16, 17, 18 years. Day in and day out, 6, 7 hours a day. For what? To cultivate a memory without cultivating the intellect or the will. St. Augustine, in his Confessions, he looked back upon his early childhood. And he sees that as a young boy, he was very intelligent. That is, he was pretty good at his studies. He could give the professors, the teachers, the answers that he knew they wanted to hear. And he could quote, you know, the poems, Cicero, and all these great men. And he says, that youth that I was, that young boy that I was, all these adults, they looked at me and called me a youth of great promise. You're going to do great things. But he says that training of his memory caused him the greatest harm to his soul. And yet the world says this is a great thing. Because the exposure to these great poets opened his mind to all kinds of evil. He studied all the pagan mythology, the Roman mythology, the Greek mythology, all their perversities, and it only fed the flames of his passion. And now he could feed this passion by reading these works, studying these works, and that's exactly what he did. And he says, while the world called him a youth of great promise, what God saw was his own destruction. It was nothing great. It was not a great good. It was actually a great evil that the world had given to him, that his parents had instilled in him by cultivating his ability to read, to cultivate his memory, without consequently cultivating a heart that loves God, a will that must be in conformity with God. And I dare say that we find ourselves not with just one St. Augustine, but with many of them. That's what our schools are putting out. Over and over and over again. We send our children to school, and what do they come home with? A head that's filled with facts, figures. And I dare say, these facts, these figures, these ideas that have been implanted in their head, all lead them to an atheism. They no longer have any faith. They no longer believe. That's unscientific. You can't prove that. And they think they're being rational. They think they're being logical. Because they're parroting the same atheistic teaching that their teachers have given them. And they can repeat what their teachers have said, and they think they know more than their parents. They think they know more than the church. And in their wisdom, they prove themselves to be fools. For the scripture clearly says, only the fool says in his heart, there is no God. Only the stupid person says there is no God. Anybody with the least bit of intelligence, anyone who can use their reason, can look around in the world and see there must be somebody in charge. There must be some being who's brought all these things into existence, keeps them in order. From the following of this one season after another, growth, birth, growth, decay and death. Why? And of course, our great scientist, our great intellectualist will tell us it all happened by accident. There's no reason, it just happens. And that, you see how intelligent we are? And the man of faith says, oh, on the contrary, it's not an accident at all. It all has a purpose. It all has a reason. And he can see the hand of God in all these things around him. And he doesn't have a problem with it. He doesn't raise his fist at God and say, I'm angry with you because I'm going to die. Because my body's getting old. I'm losing my hearing, my eyesight, and my body's falling apart, and I'm going to be put in the grave. He's not angry with God. He's not set out to fight against this inevitable. On the contrary, he's very intellectual. He's very smart. He's very rational. I've seen this. It happens to others before me. It's happening to people around me. It's happening to me. It happens to everyone. That is, unless we get killed early, we all have to die. Why? Well, my faith tells me that it's the cause of original sin. But my faith also tells me that's not the end. I have an immortal soul. And as I've looked around creation, as I've looked into myself, I am convinced I have this immortal soul. For my heart desires something that doesn't end. My heart is after that which is perfect. And again, if I may quote St. Augustine, he looked all over the world looking for happiness. He tried it indulging his passions, indulging his intellect, indulging his memory, reading everything he could get a hold of, exposing himself to new things and looking. Where's this thing that's going to make me happy? And he says his heart is restless. It's going every which way, trying to find it. And he says it's always restless until it rests in God. After he stopped looking for his happiness everywhere else and turned to God. Ah, here it is. Now I can rest. This is what I've been looking for. This is my home. And every true Catholic, every truly intelligent person comes to this same conclusion. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. And we're fools if we're just going to ignore God's plan and say, you know, I don't have to die. I'm not going to die. The intelligent person says, I'm going to die. I better make sure I do it well. The rational person says, I must make sure that I do this well. I only get one shot and I have to do it right. So I better check it out. I better plan for this. And because I don't know when it's going to come, I have to follow Christ's advice and be ready at all times. To constantly be vigilant. I don't know when it's coming for me, but it is coming. And so I must always be ready. And many in the world, because they haven't developed their intelligence, they haven't developed their faith, their will, they think this is terrible. Oh, how depressing. On the contrary, the saints did not look at death as something depressing. They went forth to their deaths rejoicing. Finally, I can be freed from this valley of tears, from the burdens of this world. Finally, I can find that eternal rest I've been looking for. Thank you, Lord, for freeing me from this body of death. What a difference between the lives of the saints and the lives of the world, of the people in the world around us today. It's like night and day. And I say, it's time that we wake up. This little bit of knowledge that we think we have is a very dangerous thing. It's going to lead us to sin more freely, more openly, more boldly. It's going to lead us to turn away from God. All because it feeds a pride, a vanity within us. And the key to fight against that is humility. Now, I'm not saying that you should not educate yourselves or your children. You should expand your memory. But you should not treat your memory as if it were the only faculty that needs to be developed and cultivated. We've over-exaggerated one aspect to the detriment of the other two. And I would dare say you would be better off if you had not filled your memory with what this letter is, or that number is, or what 1 + 1 = You would be better off without any of that. that gets in the way of your faith, of believing in God, if the memories that you had implanted in your brain, that 1 + 1 + 1 = 3, contradicts with the idea that there is only one God, but there are three persons in there, and it doesn't jive with your memory of the facts as the teachers have presented them to you, you'd be better off throwing out the fact that 1 + 1 + 1 = 3 rather than to deny the Trinity. You'd be better off hanging on to your faith and let the world laugh at you, let the world mock you. But in that instance, you will be humbled. And in that humility, God is able to do great things. He takes the weak and he lifts them up. He shows himself to the humble. To the proud, they can't see him. And I think that's what we've cultivated with our education system. That's what our world is filled with, is this pride, this vanity. We think we know something and God just hides himself from us and we become completely fools. He humbles the proud and he lifts up the humble. So the question is, now that we have all these memories, we've been through this education system, we know all these things, what are we going to do about it? The first thing is we must humble ourselves and realize that what we think we know is very little. And what we really know is even less than that. And this should in itself keep us humble. But then we must pray to God. Not so much for knowledge as for wisdom, true understanding. And I think some of the least educated people in the world are the most logical. Some of the least educated people in this world are the most faithful, are the most trusting, the most honorable, because they are humble. And that's what we should be following. And I'll leave you just with one more example. I mentioned St. Augustine, and our hearts are restless until they rest in God. King Solomon in the Old Testament, he experienced exactly the same thing. With all his riches, with all his intelligence, with all his wisdom, with all his power, he indulged every appetite he could imagine. There were no limits set to what he could have or do. And he had it all and he did it all. And then, filled with disgust at himself, he steps back and looks at himself and he says, "What is it? What are all these wives and concubines? What is all this gold? What is all this food on my table? What is it all? Vanity of vanity, and all is vanity." Vanity means emptiness. It's a chase after the wind. So here's this old man who's indulged every appetite he could possibly have, and he sees himself as chasing the wind, like a little kid. But out there in the jar, he's going to catch the wind and put it in his jar, put the lid on it. And he sees how foolish he has been. It's all emptiness, because it's all passing away. And I think we would do well to think of this as we go about our daily lives. What are we doing? Why are we doing it? What is it that we want? It's all emptiness. It's all vanity. It's all a chase after the wind. The only thing that is truly important is God. And as long as we're chasing the wind, as long as we're chasing this emptiness, this vanity, St. Augustine says, our hearts are restless. We want more, 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 more. It's never enough. The gluttonous man never has enough. He's angry because he can't put down another bite. And so he goes and causes himself to vomit so he can start all over again. And yet he's disgusted with himself. He hates himself for it, but yet he does it. The lustful man goes after indulging his lust. The avaricious man indulges his greed. And no matter how much he gets, no matter how much he has, it's never enough. He always wants more. He's never satisfied. And he looks at himself and he hates himself because of his vice. St. Augustine has been there. He's done it. We don't have to imitate him. We don't have to follow him down that path of frustration, of emptiness. Let us turn to St. Paschal Baylon and learn from him. And there, when we turn to God, He's right here, present in the Holy Eucharist. When we turn to Him, we'll find that peace. We'll find that rest. And we'll truly understand that nothing else matters. Nothing else is really important. The only thing is God. Benedictio de omnipotentis, Patris, Filii, et Spiritus Sancti, descendit super vos, et manet semper.